Waiting for an accident in a protected area. Two recent Times Colonist articles concerning the Macaulay's bulk carrier dragging her anchor off Arbutus Ridge failed to mention just how close this anchorage is situated to shore and the Parkland fuel depot, and secondly, it is, as evidenced by Thursday's weather, dangerously exposed to a 16-kilometer stretch of open water which experiences regular high winds. Notwithstanding the weather, there is also the risk of fire, engine failure, collision with the weekly fuel barges, and anchor failure. Despite what the articles imply, this freighter was fighting to stay off the shore for hours. It was a boat length or less from coming on shore. The potential environmental damage of a freighter colliding with the shore, oil barge, or the fuel depot would be catastrophic. This anchorage is not far from the Satellite Channel Ecological Reserve, which is the only subtidal marine protected area in all of BC. The longer this anchorage exists, the greater the chance of an accident. Why take the risk of an environmental disaster when this danger could easily be avoided at no cost by removing this anchorage? Come on, Transport Canada. Be proactive and not wait for an accident before taking action. Sandy and Ross Mosier. Arbutus Ridge. One more overpass would improve safety. The proposed Keating overpass will assist with traffic heading north and turning from the Pat Bay onto Keating Cross Road, and from Keating Cross Road traveling south on Pat Bay. The traffic coming from Keating Industrial Area, concrete trucks, garbage trucks, paving trucks, semi-trucks with 53-foot trailers, etc., with their destinations being north of Keating Cross Road, now go up Central Saanich Road passing Keating Elementary School and residential areas to get to Island View Road and then turning left on Pat Bay. Has the Ministry of Transportation considered an additional flyover, to be built at the same time, from Keating Cross Road going north to accommodate these trucks and car traffic? A dangerous and noisy situation passing an elementary school and residential area? Yes, this will increase the cost, but this added flyover will be completed for our safety. Joan Atherton. Saanich. Making cement bike path enclosures visible. As regular bicycle riders using the bike paths in Victoria frequently, my husband and I also drive along Wharf Street and other duo bike, car streets from time to time. A glaring need for bright yellow paint markers on the cement borders became evident the last time we traveled along Wharf on a rainy evening. The gray color of the cement border merged with the gray of the road, making it dangerous for both cyclists and vehicle drivers. Hilary Sanford. Victoria. Independent schools are a BC bargain. Re. Private schools shouldn't get government money, letter, February 28. Carol Pickup repeats the same old mathematically illiterate arguments against funding independent schools. In BC, funding independent schools actually means granting a subsidy to those schools based on 50% of operating costs of other schools in the same district. Independent schools pay their own bricks and mortar capital costs and the other 50% of their operating costs. And don't forget, children attending independent schools are BC citizens and offspring of taxpayers, just like pupils in public schools. If you cripple the finances of independent schools, their students will then flow back into public schools, not that there'd be room for them, and cost the province 100% of both operating and capital costs. Do the arithmetic. Of course, Pickup and her ilk were opposed to any funding going to independent schools. They wanted it all for themselves, regardless of what a bargain independent schools are for all citizens and taxpayers in BC. Dennis Danielson. Sydney. Victoria will get the city it deserves. Almost 30 years ago, the federal government cancelled new, long-term investments in social housing. A Canada Mortgage and Housing Corp. budget freeze meant that Canada would no longer build supportive housing. This meant Canada became one of the few developed nations without a national housing strategy. The results of this inactivity were predictable: a lack of affordable housing across Canada. 1. If you want affordable housing to be built in Victoria, the government has to finance it and build it. The private sector will not build it, or build as little as they can get away with. because they want to maximize profit on every new development. 2. Victoria Council is selling a load of BS when they say the only way to get more affordable housing is to allow developers to build 28 and 30 story towers. Very few of the units in these towers will be affordable. 3. Renters in the city of Victoria who voted for the current mayor and council, thinking they would get significantly more affordable rental units built, have been betrayed. 4. Victoria residents who are alarmed by the current trends in the city, and fear that we are turning into a smaller version of Vancouver, need to fight back. Remember, developers will promise anything to get their projects approved, then renege on any promise that isn't legally binding if it suits them. Apathy and inaction will result in us getting the city that we deserve, not the one we want. Doug Lee. Victoria Thur back, with more ideas that won't work. The train people are back. They get thrown a lifeline every now and then, this time a consulting report designed to get some more federal money to preserve optionality for the return of a refurbished ENN. The hook this time is freight rail. It could take trucks off the roads and reduce greenhouse gases. Only $430 million for infrastructure and equipment. So, we'll revive passenger and freight rail, on the same track. Via Rail's problem in the Montreal-Ottawa-Toronto corridor is that its trains and passengers all travel second class on the double-tracked lines owned by the freight-carrying CN and CP Rail. Freight has priority, so passenger trains are shunted onto sidings to make way. Via schedules go out the window, so people drive or fly or take the bus. Yes, provided rail service was faster, frequent and cost-competitive, with other transport modes, more freight, and passengers, could be lured. As the punchline of an old joke goes, assume we have a can opener. Chris Lawless. Victoria. Critical questions for a revived ENN service. We have reached a crucial point in the debate about the ENN. There are all kinds of reasons to revive the rail to relieve the road traffic. There are also many people who have no interest whatsoever in reviving something that they never used anyway. For me, there are three main points. 1. There is a good argument for a commuter link between Langford and Victoria. 2. There is not much need for a connection between Duncan and Kootenay. 3. Any link between Nanaimo and Duncan and Victoria will be futile unless there is a drastic modernization of the rolling stock. The last stock was cumbersome, too tall, and too unwieldy to handle the convoluted climb over the Malahat. I know, I traveled it numerous times. Why can't we get Bombardier to provide us with equipment which can handle the climbs and the curves in a more efficient way? John Stonehouse. Victoria. My budget problems, like a government's, I have a hypothetical problem. I have a credit card bill outstanding of $1,000. My grandmother has just given me $300 as a birthday gift. My hypothetical question is this. Should I use the $300 to pay down my credit card bill, or should I call this money a surplus, and go out and spend the $300 on a new pair of shoes? I think I will pick the latter and leave the $1,000 bill for the next generation to pay. Or do we never have to pay any debt in the current generation? Charles Krebs. North Saanich. Money for local police as a top priority. Re. Police Board resists paring its budget to reduce Victoria tax hike, February 25. Thankfully, common sense prevails at the Victoria and Esquimalt Police Board, after refusing to amend its draft budget, as requested by City Council. What are councillors thinking? Downtown businesses are waking up to broken windows, theft and other vandalism, and council wants to limit law enforcement. Where on earth does that make sense? Tighten your belt in areas that do not threaten the safety of its citizens or the survival of its downtown businesses. Bill Curry. Victoria. Send us your letters. Email letters to letters@timescolonist.com. Mail letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tyee Road, Victoria, BCV9A6X5. Submissions should be no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.